Two old friends met one day a long time ago, and after many years, sorry, and one had decided to go to college, and he had become very, very successful. The other one, however, did not go to college. He never had a whole lot of ambition, yet he seemed to be doing pretty well. Curious as to why and how he could possibly be doing very well, the college graduate asked his friend, "How has everything been going for you?" The less educated, less ambitious man replied, "Well, one day I opened my Bible at random and dropped my finger on a page, and the word under my finger was oil. So I invested in oil. And boy, did the oil wells gush. Then I tried the same method again, and my finger stopped on the word gold. So I invested in gold. And those mines really produced, and now I'm as rich as Rockefeller." The successful college graduate was so impressed that he rushed to his hotel room, grabbed a Gideon Bible, flipped it open, dropped his finger on a page, and when he opened his eyes, he saw that his finger rested on the words, chapter 11. Some of you will get that later. Uh-oh. Perhaps that's not the guidance that this gentleman was looking for. You know, it seems to me that a lot of people are in need of a lot of guidance, especially today, especially in these times of uncertainty and turmoil. And we're going to pray, and I'm going to tell you something that I read this morning. Father, Lord, we do love you so much, and we thank you so much for all you are. And we just ask, Jesus, that you would take your word and make it alive in our hearts this morning in a new and amazing way. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said. Amen. So this conservative commentator left Milwaukee and was headed back to wherever his real office was, probably New York, doesn't matter. And he went off the freeway on Interstate 80 in Illinois and stopped at a roadside kind of bar or restaurant place that he said, and he gave part of the menu, had really good food. And he sat down at the bar to eat, and this gentleman, who he called Mark, was sitting right next to him. And they talked about this, that, and the other thing, and then, as this commentator usually does, he turned it to politics. And Mark said that Mr. Trump had staged the assassination just so that he would get reelected. And the bartender stopped in whatever he was doing and said that it can't be true because two people died and there's still two in the hospital. And the guy, Mark, said, "Trump would do that. Trump is evil." And the conversation kind of went that way, and eventually Mark paid his bill and left, and nobody put him down, nobody judged him, nobody anything. And the commentator looked at the bartender later on and said, "Do you believe there's people like that?" Well, the title of the article that I was reading the story in was "One Third of the Left Believe That Trump Did Exactly That." And I say that not as a political statement, but to say that there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of uncertainty, there's a lot of, I think it's gone beyond stupid in some cases, but there's a lot of evil going on. And especially in this time right now, they were interviewing, I think I shared this last week, they were interviewing Robert Kennedy last week, and he made the comment that this country was very much, when his uncle and his father were assassinated, like it is now. And so, good news, we can get ourselves out. Bad news is, we have something to get ourselves out of. And I say that to say this, it's time for Christians to start listening to God and start doing what we're supposed to be doing. And that's what this morning's message, we're in Genesis chapter 24, is all about. So I guess with all the uncertainty going on, with all the people in need of so much guidance going on, I guess the question for us this morning is, how do we get that guidance? How do we get the kind of guidance that we really need? How do we discern what is best in our given situation, whatever that situation is? How do we discover God's good and perfect will every time we have a decision to make? You have your Bibles if you want to turn to Genesis chapter 24. We're going to look at how people of faith have received guidance from God for nearly 4,000 years. Genesis chapter 24, verses 1 to 4, the Bible tells us. Now Abraham was old and well advanced in years. The Lord had blessed Abraham in all things, and Abraham said to his servant, the oldest of his household, who had charge of all that he had, Abraham talking, put your hand under my thigh that I may make you swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that you will not take a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell, but will go to my country and to my kindred and take a wife for my son Isaac. Genesis 24, 1 to 4, the Bible says. Isaac's 40. He's well past the time that he should have gotten married. So Abraham says his most trusted servant to find a wife for Isaac. Chapter 24, verse 5, the Bible tells us, the servant said to him, perhaps the woman may not be willing to follow me to this land. Must I then take your son back to the land from which you came? Key question. Great question. There are 450 miles between where Abraham is in Canaan and where he was sending his servant, where Abraham's family all lived. And there were very few women who would be able to travel that far to marry somebody they'd never known or even seen before. Don't miss that part. So if the woman won't come with him, Abraham's servant wants to know, well, can I take Isaac to her? Chapter 24, verses 6 to 9, the Bible says, Abraham said to him, see to it that you do not take my son back there. The Lord, the God of the heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and who spoke to me and swore to me, to your offspring I will give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you shall take a wife for my son from there. But if the woman is not willing to follow you, then you will be free from this oath of mine. Only you must not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and swore to him concerning this matter. Abraham is insistent. Do not take my son out of this land, the land God promised to me and my descendants. He asks the servant to swear an oath, and the matter is settled. But the question is, why is Abraham so insistent? I mean, if the woman is from his family anyway, why wouldn't it be okay for Isaac to hang out there? Abraham is so insistent because he has heard from God. Abraham is so insistent because he has heard from God. God's word to him was very clear. I am giving your offspring this land. Not the land you came from, this land. Abraham pays very careful attention to God's word, and that's what he must do, and that's what we must do if we want God's guidance. Like Abraham, number one this morning, we must pay attention to God's word. We must pay attention to God's word. Folks, we have to listen to what God's already told us. We need to operate within the bounds of Scripture. You see, God has already spoken to us in this book. God has already spoken to us in the Bible, and he will never, ever, 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 ever lead us in a direction contrary to the principles that he's already laid out right here in his word. God doesn't contradict himself ever. So if we want to discern God's will, we have to open his book. And that's all we have to do, is open his book. There's a popular story in our postmodern culture, and it's about six men, and you've heard this probably, six blind men and an elephant. One blind man touches the side of the animal and thinks he's touching a wall. Another grabs the elephant's ear and thinks he's touching a fan. A third touches the tail and thinks he's holding on to a rope, and on they go, all six of them grabbing part of the elephant without any of them knowing the absolute truth. And folks, that's the way it is with every person who has a very limited knowledge, so says the postmodern philosopher. He says, we cannot know absolute truth, only what is true for each one of us. And that truth is different for every person. What is true for one may not be true for another. It all depends on each one's limited perspective. Excuse me. Therefore, I shouldn't judge another person for following a different truth, a different morality than what I follow. I mean, after all, we're all just groping in the dark trying to find out what truth works best for each one. And folks, the elephant story is a great analogy, except for two very major problems. First of all, the whole story assumes that someone, capital S, clearly knows the absolute truth about the elephant, that the elephant is indeed an elephant. Otherwise, the story doesn't make any sense. Secondly, though, the story ignores the fact that the one, capital O, with this knowledge, has already communicated the truth about reality. He's told the blind men, that wall-like structure is the side of an elephant. That fan is really an ear, and what seems to be a rope is really the elephant's tail. The problem comes only when the blind men ignore the absolute truth that has already been communicated to them. Folks, it's the same thing when we ignore the absolute truth that God has already communicated to us in His Word. Rabbit, if you're not in His Word every day, change that. Find time? No. Don't find time. Get in the Word every day. Something else can find time. We won't know the Scripture if we don't spend time in the Scripture. And it's the same way when we ignore the absolute truth that God has already communicated with us. You see, folks, God is the one who knows the absolute truth about our life. And He's made that truth very clear in the Bible. All we need to do is pay attention if we don't want to grope around blindly in the dark. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. Keep heart. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your ways straight. He will straighten your path. Folks, when we lean on our own understanding, our paths are all crooked and confusing. But when we lean on what the Lord has already told us in His Word, the path of life ultimately makes sense, and there's a direction to it that takes on real meaning. So don't ignore God's Word if you want real guidance. Instead, pay attention to what God has already said in the Bible. Here's just a couple clear examples. First of all, it is absolutely God's will that you be saved. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, the Bible says, the Lord is not slow to fulfill His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Folks, if you haven't turned from your sin, trusting Christ to save you from that sin, then God's will is very clear. He wants you to repent. Second thing is that it's God's will that you be Spirit-filled. Ephesians 5, verses 17 and 18, the Bible says, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Ephesians 5, 17 and 18. Folks, again, God's will is very clear here. Don't let alcohol control you. Instead, let God's Spirit control you. Third, it's God's will that you be sanctified. Saved, Spirit-filled, sanctified. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, the Bible says, this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. If you're wondering, and odds are nobody in here is, but if you are wondering am I? Oh, if you're wondering whether or not you should move in with your boyfriend or your girlfriend before you get married, you don't have to wonder about that anymore. Just saying, God's will is very clear. Abstain from sexual immorality. Number four, it is God's will that you submit to the governing authorities. Stupidity notwithstanding. 1 Peter 2, verses 13 to 15, the Bible says, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, for this is the will of God." Folks, there's no doubt right there. God wants us to obey the laws of the land always, unless they go contrary to what God's will is. Unless they go contrary to his higher law. And number five, it is God's will that you suffer for his sake. 1 Peter 4, verse 19, the Bible tells us, "Let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good." Folks, when we seek to live our lives according to God's way, people are going to ridicule us. Some of us will suffer, but it's better to suffer for doing good than to suffer for doing what's wrong. It's better to suffer for doing what's right than for doing something that is contrary to the will of God. The Bible could not be more clear. It is God's will that you be saved, that you be spirit-filled, that you be sanctified, that you submit, and that you suffer for what's doing right. Do you want clear guidance in these difficult and confusing days that we find ourselves in? Then all you have to do is listen to what God has already said. First of all, pay attention to God's word. Secondly, this morning, where his word is not clear, number two, get on your knees and pray. Get on your knees and pray. Ask God for the guidance you need. Ask God to lead you in the way he wants you to go within the boundaries of his word. And that's what Abraham's servant did. And these are two lengthy sections of scripture, but I'm going to read them all. Genesis 24, verses 10 to 14. "Then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, taking all sorts of choice gifts from his master. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia to the city of Nahor. And he made the camels kneel down outside the city by the well of water at the time of evening, the time when women come out to draw water. And he said, 'O Lord, God of my master Abraham, please grant me success today and show steadfast love to my master Abraham. Behold, I am standing by the spring of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Let the young woman to whom I shall say, please let down your jar that I may drink, and who shall say, drink, and I will water your camels, let her be the one you have appointed for your servant Isaac. By this I shall know that you have shown steadfast love to my master.'" Genesis 24, verses 10 to 14. Whoa, that's kind of a specific prayer. Isn't it? Abraham's servant asked God for a girl that would be willing to water all 10 of his camels who have just gotten done traveling 450 miles. That's not a small job. Camels drink a lot of water. And that would take a considerable amount of time and effort. But Abraham's servant is looking for a particular kind of woman. He wants a wife for Isaac who's not afraid of hard work, one that shows an amazing amount of persistence and an unselfish love for others. Abraham's servant is very specific in his prayer. But now look what God does. Genesis 24, verses 15 and following. Before he had finished speaking, the Bible says, "Behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her water jar on her shoulders. The young woman was very attractive in appearance, a maiden whom no man had known. She went down to the spring and filled her jar and came up. Then the servant ran to meet her and said, 'Please give me a little water to drink from your jar.' She said, 'Drink, my lord.' And she quickly let down her jar upon her hand and gave him a drink. When she had finished giving him a drink, she said, 'I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking.'" So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough and ran again to the well to draw water. and she drew for all his camels. The man gazed at her in silence to learn whether the Lord had prospered his journey or not. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took a gold ring weighing half a shekel and two bracelets for her arms weighing 10 gold shekels and said, "Please tell me whose daughter you are. Is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She said to him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, whom she bore to Nahor." She added, "We have plenty of both straw and fodder and room to spend the night." The man bowed his head and worshiped the Lord and said, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his steadfast love and his faithfulness toward his master. As for me, the Lord has led me to the way in the way to the house of my master's kinsman." How many of you know if you pray detailed prayers, God answers? Strength is in the details. God led him in answer to a specific prayer, and God's going to do the same for us when we pray, folks. When we ask, he will lead us in answer to our specific cries for help, whether it's for our children, for our spouses, for our friends, for ourselves, doesn't matter. James chapter 1, the Bible says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously, to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." James 1 verse 5. God delights in giving us wisdom, folks, when we don't know what to do. All we have to do is ask for it. One of Einstein's neighbors, I love this story, was a 10-year-old little girl who visited his house quite often. Her mother asked her why, and the girl explained, "Well, I had trouble with my homework and arithmetic. People said that at number 112 there lives a very big mathematician who's also a very good man. I asked him to help me. He was very willing and explained everything very well. He said I should come whenever I find a problem too difficult." The mother, as mothers are, was shocked at her daughter's boldness, so she went next door to apologize. Einstein told her, "You don't have to excuse yourself. I have learned more from the conversations with the child than she has from me." Einstein loved helping that little girl with her math. So if Einstein loved helping that little girl with her math, how much more must our Heavenly Father love helping us with our lives? He delights, folks, in guiding us. All we have to do is ask. He'll put ideas in our head in accordance with what it says in his word. He'll arrange all our circumstances. He'll guide us through life every time we ask him to. Phil Calloway didn't know what to say when his little kids asked if mommy was going to die. His wife, Ramona, suffered horrible seizures. Hundreds of friends and relatives were praying, but Ramona's weight eventually slipped to 90 pounds. Medical specialists tried everything, but by the fall of 1996, the seizures were occurring every day, sometimes hourly. Phil rarely left Ramona's side. He wondered if she would even make it to her 30th birthday. One evening, when things were looking utterly hopeless, Phil paced back and forth in their backyard, and then he fell to his knees and he cried out, "God, I can't take it anymore. Please do something." Suddenly, a doctor's name came into his mind, and Phil called that doctor, who saw Ramona the next day. Can't make this up. And he diagnosed a very rare chemical deficiency. Within a week, Ramona's seizures had ended, her eyes sparkled again. The miracle was so incredible that Phil says, "God gave me back my wife." Folks, do you want clear guidance in these difficult and confusing days at home or wherever you happen to be? Then first of all, pay attention to what it says in God's word, and secondly, pray. Third, when God gives you guidance, obey, and obey right away. Do what he tells you right now. That's what Abraham's servant did. He goes to Rebekah's house, he explains to her family all that has happened, and he pays them the dowry provided by Abraham. And then, when it comes time to leave, her family wants them to hang out. Skip down to verse 55, Genesis 24. The Bible says, "Her brother and her mother said, 'Let the young woman remain with us a while, at least 10 days. After that, she may go.' But he, the servant, said to them, 'Do not delay me, since the Lord has prospered my way. Send me away that I may go to my master.' They said, "Let us call the young woman and ask her." And they called Rebekah and said to her, "Will you go with this man?" She said, "I will go." So they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant with his men, and they blessed Rebekah and said to her, "Our sister, may you become thousands of 10,000s, and may your offspring possess the gate of those who hate him." Then Rebekah and her young woman arose and rode on the camels and followed the man. Thus the servant took Rebekah and went his way. He didn't waste any time in bringing Rebekah to her new home. He obeys God immediately. Sidebar, so did Rebekah. She left. Probably was not an easy thing to do. They obeyed a God immediately, folks, and that's what we have to do if we want to continue receiving guidance from the Lord. There's a Christian comedian many of you may have heard of. His name's Ken Davis, and he's a goofball, and he's funny, and he's on fire for Christ. And he tells the story of a Christian who got on an empty bus, and he walked to the rear of the bus, and he sat down. "Lord," he prayed, "if you want me to speak to somebody about you, please give me a sign." At the next stop, another passenger boarded the bus, empty bus, except for the gentleman in the back. Second man walked all the way to the back of the bus, sat down right next to the Christian, and the passenger looked at him and said, "Do you know anything about Jesus?" The Christian excused himself for just a second, and slowly he bowed his head and he prayed once again, "Lord, if you really want me to talk to this stranger, I need just one more sign. Please turn the bus driver into an armadillo." That's a comedian telling a story. But I'll ask the question, have you been praying for armadillos? Have you been waiting for a sign from God that you really hope never comes before you get serious about following him? We all do that, sometimes. You see, when God's will is very clear, we don't need to keep asking for signs. We just need to do what he leads us to do. Get serious about following Christ. Otherwise, don't expect God to give you any more guidance. Do you want clear guidance in these difficult and confusing days, folks? Then pay attention to God's word, pray, obey, and finally, number four, experience God's peace. Experience God's peace. Folks, then know the comfort of living in his will, and that's what happened to Abraham's family. Chapter 24, Genesis verses 62 to 67, the Bible says, "Now Isaac had returned from Beer Lahai-Roi, and was dwelling in Negev. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field toward evening, and he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, there were camels coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from the camel and said to the servant, 'Who is that man walking in the field to meet us?' The servant said, 'It is my master.' So she, Rebekah, took her veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. Then Isaac brought her into the tent of Sarah, his mother, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death." Literally, he breathed deeply after his mother's death. It was as if Isaac heaved a great sigh of relief, and he could finally relax again. Isaac found peace in God's will, and that's what happens to us in God's will too. Like Isaac, we will find ourselves breathing deeply in the comfort of God's way. That's not to say at all that life will always be easy. It won't. But we will be at peace when we know that we are where God wants us to be, doing what God wants us to do. Kumar was a Christian in South India, and he was grieved because none of the 13 people he had invited came to watch a Billy Graham evangelistic broadcast in his home on the 23rd of December. He began to pray, and around 9 o'clock, he felt God compelling him to invite his wife's sister's family, the in-laws, to watch the next night's broadcast, and immediately he set out to contact them. Wasn't easy. His sister-in-law's family had no phone, so Kumar had to call their neighbor and plead with him to go and bring them to the phone for an urgent message. When his brother-in-law, Satish, reached the phone, Kumar asked him and his family to catch a bus to his city as soon as possible. Satish had no money. Kumar encouraged him to borrow the money and said that he would reimburse Satish for the tickets. Satish consented, and at 4 a.m., he and his family boarded a bus for the long trip to Kumar's house. They arrived at 5 in the afternoon, and an hour later, they watched the My Hope telecast from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. Afterwards, Kumar gave his testimony, and he asked if the others wanted to put their faith in Christ. They were all kind of looking around at each other, and Kumar wondered if they were what they were thinking. Then Satish, noticeably distressed, stood and explained that he had just lost his job because the tea factory where he worked had closed. Further, the company was demanding that the family vacate their company-owned house. Seeing no hope, the family had decided that on December 25th, they were all going to commit suicide. Keep in mind, this story started the 23rd. Now they saw that through Jesus Christ there is hope, and they prayed with Kumar to accept Christ. Satish said he felt like a new man, and after staying several more days with Kumar, the family returned home ready to face the future with Christ. Folks, you can be ready to face any future with Christ if you just let God guide you. Sometimes it looks murky, sometimes it looks bad. Do you want clear guidance in these difficult and confusing days, folks? And pay attention to God's word. Pray for his guidance. Obey what he tells you to do. And experience his peace in any circumstances. In his book, Resolving Everyday Conflict, Ken Sandy tells about a blind woman who resisted the repeated warnings of her loyal and protective dog. One day during his morning run, he noticed a blind woman walking on the other side of the street with her seeing-eye dog, a beautiful golden retriever. As Ken was about to pass them, he noticed a car blocking a driveway a few paces ahead of them. At that moment, the dog paused and gently pressed his shoulder against the woman's leg, signaling her to turn aside so that he could get around the car. No doubt, she normally followed the dog's lead, but that day she didn't seem to trust him for whatever reason. She'd probably walked this route many times before and knew that this was not a normal place to make a turn. Whatever the cause, though, she wouldn't move to the side, instead gave him the signal to move ahead. He again pressed his shoulder against her leg, trying to guide her on a safe path. She angrily ordered the dog to go forward. Again, he declined, and her temper flared. Ken Sandy was about to speak up when the dog once more put his shoulder gently against her leg. Sure enough, she kicked the dog. And then impulsively, she stepped forward and bumped square into the car. She reached out to feel the shape in front of her, and immediately she realized what had happened. And dropping to her knees, she threw her arms around the dog and spoke sobbing words into his ear. Folks, listen, if you want to keep bumping in to life's obstacles, if you want to keep bumping into life's obstacles and pay attention to the nudging of God's Spirit, follow his lead and find your way safely in this dark and confusing world. Follow his lead. Listen to his word. Pray. Obey what he tells you to do and experience the peace of God that passes all our understanding. And may God's kingdom come.